Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Happy Friday, everyone. We hope you have a great weekend this weekend. It's going to be a different kind of weekend for the Keatsmans. Jessica is off to a ladies' golf tournament Friday and Saturday, where she has a partner and they put all kinds of decorations on their buggies and do all kinds of weird stuff. So myself and the friend you can't mention on the podcast, since our wives are playing in the golf tournament, have decided to do something we've never done before. And this is either going to go, well, it's not going to go smashingly well. I can go ahead and rule out that this will go smashingly well. This will just be a thing that we will give a try to. We've been guests at the Great Lenexa Barbecue many times through the years. Have some friends that have a gigantic setup and a big Friday night party, and they play music and they cook, and it's just a lot of fun. And it literally is like 100 people go to this. You've probably been to one of these or heard of these events. It's very close to our house. It's a really cool deal. We have great friends that really, really know how to smoke and enter the contest and do all this stuff. And then we found out they had a little extra room in their smoker this year. And so the friends you can't mention on the podcast and I are going to enter the barbecue in like the JV competition or the lower level competition, whatever it is, you know, the beginners category. And we've done this and we're going to be doing ribs. So we'll let you know how that goes. Here's the deal. When you're trying something new and you've never done it before and it's an actual competition, I'm normally not like this because I'm very competitive. The bar is incredibly low. Like, we could finish last and it wouldn't be that embarrassing. It wouldn't be embarrassing at all. I've never smoked meats in my life. My parents used to love smoking sausages. They had what they called a cold smoker and smoked sausage. It was homemade. He built it himself and he did this. It was delicious sausage. All my friends have smokers and use them with various degrees of success because I've sampled all of it. To me, I'm a little too ADD, I think, to spend that many hours cooking. I love a hot grill. I love to fix a steak as quickly as I can. I like to sear the outside of it and keep it nice and juicy and seal in all the juice. I like to cook at high heat. I'm okay on the grill. I'm not going to lie. I'm okay. I can do a lot of different things on the grill, but smoking, not me. So I'm the gopher and head cheerleader, I think, here is what this comes down to. I'm going to be rooting him on, getting whatever ingredients he needs. I'm in charge of buying all the stuff and doing all. So I got all that. I'm the gopher. We'll let you know how it goes. We'll probably write about it. Sunday will be the newsletter this weekend, if you're a patron, not Saturday. The newsletter will be out on Sunday because we will be at the competition on Saturday morning. We're going to be up very early, and I think we put our ribs in at like 12:30 on Saturday. And again, if we finish last, we finish last. No big deal. Going to give it a go. So there's something completely different. We can't make any more headlines doing that than Grady Dick did at the NBA draft on Thursday night. What a jacket Grady Dick was wearing. And, you know, we live in an era, social media era, where people are trying to get hits, downloads, attention. For me, I think Grady Dick stands out just by being the white guy that gets drafted in the NBA. He's the first white guy taken. He's really white. You know, he's got the floppy 80s haircut. I mean, he just looks and is different than everyone else in the NBA. It's pretty clear to see that's going to be the case. So I don't know that he needed to be the one to make the fashion statement, but he did. Look, Jessica loved part of this. She's like, oh, that's Gucci. Oh, that's all Louis. You know, she's looking at these suits these guys have and that their parents had. Ridiculous amounts of money being spent on this stuff. Grady Dick didn't go that crazy, but he did wear the one thing that stood out more than anything else. His jacket was designed after the shiny ruby red slippers from The Wizard of Oz. And he let everybody know this. And being the white guy with the blonde floppy hair and from Kansas and telling that story and wearing what he was wearing became quite a story in and of itself after Toronto drafted him for the NBA draft. I think he's going to be a great player. I do. I think he's the best shooter in the draft. I think he hasn't even come close to, you know, filling out and growing into the man that he's going to be in the NBA as a very young player. There's just a lot to like about Grady Dick. The jacket, I'm not sure I get it. Bill Self was there and was interviewed afterwards and said, what did you think of what Grady Dick wore? And he said, well, you know, it would have really been incredible if he'd have matched it with the pants. But he wasn't trying to be the best dressed player here. he was trying to be the loudest one to get the most hits on social media. True enough, and as Bill Self said, mission accomplished. He did that. He got the most hits on social media for what he was wearing. I'm not sure I get it. I'm not 19 or 20 years old. I don't understand this whole, you know, if I were like that, I'd be doing videos every day for this podcast. I probably should be as a business model on Twitter, on Instagram every day doing 30 to 60 second videos about what the topics are on this podcast. But I don't really need that. I don't need, like, I think most people do that to be seen and heard. I like to do what it is that I do here. I'm thrilled that many of you listen. I think this is a credible podcast that a lot of people will listen to and go, okay, that's interesting and thoughtful and smart and entertaining sometimes. I think that's true. But if I just became the guy that went on Twitter every day to promote the podcast and started wearing silly stuff, you know, and having a kazoo, doing that, I don't get that. To me, that's what social media is. It's who can be the loudest. I've never wanted to be the loudest. But Grady Dick does. And it was pretty interesting. He unveiled his new logo. He has a GD logo. He got it all, man. He's been thinking about this for a while. So does that mean anything about his future as an NBA player? Is his head in the right place? Does that mean anything? To me, no, because he's very young. He's got a lot to learn. I don't think he'll just be a superstar from day one, but I think he has a long, long future in this league, and I think he'll be a terrific player. It just is, I think it's just a reflection of the age that we live in and the immaturity of young people. Not that that's any different than it's ever been. Young people have always been immature. It's just different, and you see things differently now. But Grady Dick, the star of the draft with his Dorothy ruby red sparkly jacket that he was wearing. Good for him. Victor Wembanyama was the number one pick overall from France. He is 7'4". He goes to the Spurs, and a lot of people believe he is the generational player, that the draft didn't start until the number two pick because this is Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes wasn't drafted number one, but this is Patrick Mahomes. That's what the Spurs believe. That's what the NBA believes. That's what the entire basketball community believes, is that Wembanyama is about to become the biggest star in the NBA at 7'4". At 7'4", he weighs 224 pounds. I mean, they got to feed this kid, and they need to get him in a weight room. There's a lot they're going to have to do, or he's going to get knocked all over the floor out there. He will. He'll get shoved around physically. He doesn't put some muscle on and some weight, but his skills are crazy. He shoots threes. He dunks. He can do it all. Handle the ball. He looks like an amazing, amazing talent. So we'll watch to see how that goes as the future unfolds. At number 30, Kobe Brown of the Missouri Tigers goes to the LA Clippers. He was the last pick of the first round, which is a big deal. The money changes. The contracts change pretty dramatically after the first round. Good for Kobe Brown. There's a great hit right there. Number 50, taken by Oklahoma City's Keontae Johnson from Kansas State. You know his backstory and his health issues, which apparently have been put to rest in Oklahoma City. Not concerned about that. He'll go play for the Thunder. Right behind him, Jalen Wilson goes to the Brooklyn Nets at number 51. Look, this stuff is all subject to trades. Weird stuff happens, and I think it's done this time. I don't know. Don't hold me to any of this stuff, because sometimes you see somebody drafted and then you look up a week later and they're somewhere else. It's just how it works. After the draft was over, Damoy Hodge from Missouri is reportedly going to be signing with the Lakers, and Marquise Noel from Kansas State with Toronto, which means he'll be Grady Dick's teammate. Marquise Noel and Grady Dick could potentially be on the same team. Marquise Noel has the mad skills, but the size is a huge, huge problem in the NBA. We'll see. It's hard to not get drafted and stick on a roster and play and become a meaningful NBA player. It's a hard thing. It's not impossible, but it's a hard thing. So the NBA draft is closed, and good for Grady Dick making the headlines that he did. If you love the NBA, or if you just love Kevin Harlan calling any game, he does the NBA games, he does the NFL, or if you're just a play-by-play fan or want to know more about Kevin Harlan, we did a patron podcast yesterday with Danny Klinkscale, our regular Between the Lines 2.0. His Kansas City profile this week is Kevin Harlan. He's done a one-hour podcast with Kevin Harlan that has very little to do Danny says, with his last 20 years. He said, the last 20 years, everybody knows he's been doing the NBA and CBS. This is more about his upbringing. His dad was the president of the Packers. He grew up on the sidelines in Green Bay. They worked in St. Louis, I think, for a while. He was close to the baseball Cardinals organization. He came to the University of Kansas. He then became the youngest NBA announcer when he was calling Kings games here, became the Chiefs announcer. It's all about that stuff with Kevin Harlan. I think you'll find it very interesting. It is up today at DannyClinkscale.com. I think you're really going to like it. Really going to like it. Danny does different things with his website and content than I do. But I'm going to listen to this one for sure. Kevin Harlan profile at DannyClinkscale.com. Go check it out. All right, off the field, we get some news from the University of Kansas about their football stadium project and how they will go forward with remodeling, redesigning, and basically reinventing football at the University of Kansas. They feel pretty good they've got the right coach. They'll have to continue to pay him to keep him if he's successful. No doubt about that. The beautiful part about that for Kansas is it appears with the offensive coordinator sitting there, even if Leipold left, their next head coach is in-house. So they feel really good about where they are. The new league, Kansas didn't really beat Oklahoma or Texas. The new league should give them an opportunity to win more football games. There's a lot to like here. So they hired a consultant on how they're going to do this. They want to build retail, maybe some condos, a hotel, a convention center, a village, and all this stuff around the stadium. But they're landlocked. There isn't much there. There's some parking there, but they're pretty landlocked where they are at Memorial Stadium in Lawrence. So the consultant comes back, and they're now recommending they take 7,000 seats out and reduce capacity to under 38,000 at Memorial Stadium, which is fascinating to me. And it said, you're going to need this room. You're going to need to make the stadium smaller in order to, you know. Immediately, Travis Goff, the AD, responds to this and says, look, we hire consultants to get their input and see what they think. That doesn't mean that's what we're doing. We will have over 40,000 seats. There will be cheap seats, and there will be really expensive seats. And there will be tailgating opportunities. We're going to have an atmosphere, and we're going to build a loud stadium. We're going to remodel and build something loud. Now, as we're going through this with the Royals and what they're wanting to do downtown, I understand the University of Kansas and the Hill there, the Campanile and the setting. I understand loving your setting. But if Kansas makes some sort of mistake here and says, we're going to do this because we love the setting more than we love our football program, to me, that's a bad idea. There is a lot of land out by I-70 and the airport. Baylor built a new stadium on I-35 and the river, right off the interstate and the river in Waco, and it has been a smashing success for Baylor football. They built it from the ground up. It's everything you could possibly want. You could literally find land on the riverfront near the interstate, like Baylor did, and build whatever you want. You could build an entertainment center. They're talking about converting this into concerts, amphitheater, music. They could put Sandstone out of business in Bonner. All the concerts every year that are at Sandstone, they could have at this new facility right off I-70 in Lawrence. They could literally become a mecca for music by doing that. There's a lot of different things that are possible at Kansas if they're really looking at this, and I don't think they're really looking at any of it. I think they're stuck in the old money's like, this is where I went to school. I love that hill. I like the tower, and I want my stadium here. And let's figure out the best we can do right here. Again, I'm not saying they're wrong. And I understand the history, the sentimental nature of wanting to go back to your campus, relive your college days. I'm with you. Look, I went to a school that made I believe, a big mistake when they moved out of Ahern Fieldhouse and built Bramlage on the north side of campus. I think it was a mistake. There were a lot of reasons why it was a mistake. One was it was just a very sterile, uninteresting, non-fan-friendly building that was not particularly great for college basketball. They've done tremendous work on Bramlage over the years to bring it up to be that now. And Kansas State's facilities are all in one place. Football stadium, basketball, it's all right there. It couldn't be any better. The way it's turned out long-term, couldn't be any better. But when they built Bramlage, it was a part of the problem why Kansas State basketball fell off a cliff. Moving the football stadium out of the center of the campus to the north part where there's a lot of land was an outstanding move at K-State. That was absolutely the right thing. trying to keep that in the middle of campus, like they're trying to do at Kansas, would have been the worst possible thing for Kansas State. It's just not, it's not a tenable situation. You have too much infrastructure around you. There's no way to do it unless you're just going to go buy people's houses and tear them down. So I wonder if there's any consideration at Kansas to moving that thing out where there's land and building everything they possibly want, including maybe even on the river, which could be kind of cool. I've not heard any of that. All I've heard now is a consultant saying, well, if you want to do all this stuff you want to do, you only have room for 37,000 seats. And that doesn't sound very KU to me. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, you know, heading into the weekend at KKHI, we like to mention our sponsors that are retailers. And so here you go. You want to save some money this weekend? We got some deals for you. BStock.net has the TV giveaway they're still doing. If you have time this weekend, swing into BStock. They're going to give away a 70-inch 4K smart TV for 4th of July. You enter in person, one per person. So hop on in there and check out all the great deals at BStock.net. Now with Sonos, up to 25% off MSRP. And, of course, all the best TVs and computers. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe, or visit them online at bstock.net. Get on out there Saturday and sign up to win this TV. They've had a few entries, but this is not the mall, okay? There's not like thousands of people a day. It's a warehouse. This is an internet company. It's a web company. So go sign up. You could win this TV. Jocelyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Great place for all your jewelry needs, whether it's a small little gift, a bracelet or something like that, or you're looking to buy that beautiful diamond or add on to the wedding ring for a special anniversary, Jocelyn's Jewelry can build it and make it even prettier for you. Non-commissioned sales reps, no pressure, very fun to go to Jocelyn's Jewelry. You're going to like it. 95th and Antioch, online at jocelynsjewelry.com. Anamides Gallery is at 105th and Metcalf. It's a great weekend, guys. It's summer now. It's time to start thinking about football season and getting serious and people coming over to your house for football season. Do you need new bar stools? Do you need new seating, leather seating for your man cave? Do you need some cool stuff? Do you need some entertainment? A pool table, shuffleboard, pinball machine, video games? Amenies at 105th and Metcalf is the go-to place. Mention KKHI when you go there and receive no interest financing for 60 months as a VIP, a KKHI VIP. You can also shop in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City at Amenies. Just mention the podcast at any of those locations or online at amenies.com. Okay, so the Missouri has not approved sports gambling yet. And a lot of people are pointing at a man who is from Warrensburg, a representative in the state of Missouri named Denny Hoskins. They believe he's basically the guy that has killed this thing. And he's done some interviews now as to why he voted no or hammered down the one that was on display for him to pass this year and said no. He said, well, it looked to me like the casino's getting rich and everyone else getting hurt. And I understand wanting to get the best deal for Missouri, but every year you don't have any deal, you're losing money. That's true. So I don't like this comment about everybody else getting hurt because I don't understand. People can't get hurt playing slot machines or poker or blackjack or roulette or craps or slot machines. I mean, the inference always whenever there's a gambling bill is, well, we got to be careful to protect people from themselves. No, we're past that. There's gambling everywhere. There's gambling everywhere. Get this passed. Sports gambling's no different. Get it passed. If people have a problem with smoking, alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex addiction, whatever it may be, people got to figure that out. There's help available. We all have our sins. We all have things that we can't handle properly. And you got to avoid those things. Like, I think I would have been a terrible smoker. As ADD as I am, if I'd ever started smoking and liked it, I'm not sure I'd have been able to quit. I think I probably would have just loved it. My parents both did it. They loved it. They both wound up quitting because they knew it was really bad for them. But they liked it. They liked how it made them feel. They liked it, just liked all that stuff. I probably would have been that guy, so I'm glad I never started. Now, I think the reason I started is my parents kind of grossed me out with it when I was a kid. I couldn't stand it in the house. I just absolutely couldn't stand it. But this guy, they're going to have to get on board next year. Whatever the best deal is they can make next year, just pass the law and say, casinos, do you want to do sports gambling or not? Here it is. If you need a bigger cut, if it needs to be bigger than 10%, take a bigger cut. Take 15%. Kansas signed a crappy deal for the state of Kansas. Crappy. But people in Kansas are happy that they can bet. They enjoy it. And it's actually done more than they thought it would. Get the thing going, get your best deal, and let's get on with it. Make it a five-year deal. Say, we'll revisit this thing in 5 years, or the legislature will have to pass a new agreement in 5 years. Something, put a revisit pill in there, a lot of things. Denny Haskins in Warrensburg, apparently the guy. And one of his holdups is he wants the money in Missouri to go to veterans and cemeteries. And I really appreciate and respect that. There's a lot to like here with Denny, I'm sure. But, and wanting to get a good deal is a good thing. It's going to come around again next year. It's got to happen. This is ridiculous. Missouri has legalized pot, for crying out loud, for anyone to just walk around the rest of their life stoned. But we're worried about people getting hurt by betting on the Chiefs? I don't. I'm sorry. I can't. I don't even understand that. Here's some progress. This is really nice progress. The NHL has announced there will be no more pride jerseys during warmups or patches for players. None. The league has said it's over. It's done. Individual teams can have pride night. They can have military night. Individual teams can have anything they want. Having players endorse these things is over. The NHL has made a powerful statement here. And that is an easy line in the sand for them to draw. We can still do pride nights. It sounds like most teams will in the NHL. We're just not going to shove it in your face. We're damn sure not going to make our players wear it. Thank you for some common sense. What I didn't read is it optional? Can a player come out in the pregame skate, warm-ups, and have their own t-shirt on? Pride t-shirt, if they so choose, or wear a ribbon or a ball cap or something. What are the options of what they can do pregame? I don't know that. And I guess in pregame, I'd be okay with a player, you know, doing whatever and making a statement. I just don't like it during the games. I didn't like the kneeling at the anthem. I think there just needs to be protocols and rules. You know, when the anthem kneeling was going on, the NBA players were sitting and turning their backs. It was literally in their collective bargaining agreement that you must stand for the national anthem and honor the flag. It was in their union's collective bargaining agreement, and they didn't do it, and the NBA did nothing about it. Amazing when that happened. But the NHL taking a stand here. No more pride jerseys for players before the game. That's it. It's over. League-wide. We are essentially, what they're doing is banning them. They're not just saying we're going to have them. They're banning them. They're saying this is not going to happen. Each individual team can have Pride Night and do it the way they want. That is fine, but we're not going to be doing this. All right, the news is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, and your custom builder is TJ Vilkanskis at back9development.com. 785-236-0161. Log on to back9development.com. It's the number 9. back9development.com and see the entire portfolio. It's fun to just surf around the web and see cool things. Check out some of the great homes he's building, his condo complexes and commercial properties. back9development.com could team up with you or your team of investors and execute whatever it is your dream is. You want to build it? He'll do it for you. back9development.com. Advanced Medical Imaging is online at medimageks.com. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, don't wait 3 weeks and stick with your costly, time-consuming hospital chain. Get outside your network and they'll still take your insurance. Your insurance works at medimageks.com. If you want to consider the heart scan like Jessica and I had last year, it's under $100. It's out of pocket. It's a great thing to do. Find out your plaque score and see if your heart is ticking just right. They'll see the other organs in your torso, too. That's just kind of an elective thing. Schedule it up by calling 785-856-0224. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. We love Tim and his family at Cross Kitchens. They do great work from small projects like new countertops and just a little new flooring to entire reconstruction of rooms. You name it, they'll do it. Make your home your castle with CrossKitchensKC.com. Don't forget, all our advertisers are at thekklist.com. I don't mention that enough here. Thekklist.com is your go-to. It's your go-to. You want to see all, and we've got plenty of businesses, conservative businesses listed there that are not sponsors of the podcast. They're just members of the KK list. If you want to join the list, just click on join the list at the KK list and send us your information for your company if you'd like to be listed there. It's pretty simple. Go to thekklist.com, check out all the great local businesses, and click on join the list if you'd like to join it, thekklist.com. Well, the Republicans keep doing all the things that the Democrats don't do. And that is, when they investigate somebody on the left, they don't just find the smoking gun, right? They find all the other evidence with it. They find the dead body. They find the bullet. They find everything. Republicans find everything and put it out there for you, and it goes nowhere. Nothing ever happens. You want to talk about a two-tiered system? This one's even worse. The Republicans have, on Thursday, two IRS whistleblowers. Are you ready for this? That gave devastating evidence against Hunter Biden and Joe Biden on millions of dollars worth of tax fraud. An email exchange where Hunter Biden says, I'm sitting right here with my father, and this has to happen tonight. The money has to transfer tonight. I'm sitting right here with my father. Then there's a threat that his dad will use every ounce of power that he has to make your life a living hell if this doesn't happen. Hunter Biden benefited to the tune of about $8.3 million just on the deals that they're talking about with these two whistleblowers. These involved China, Ukraine, and Romania from 2014 to 2019. That is when Joe Biden was vice president and not vice president. Hunter Biden was getting rich. 10% to the big guy. Always a cut for the big guy. The big guy was always a hammer, was always the threat. And we literally have an email where he says, my dad is right here and you get this done or else. We have Joe Biden on tape saying, well, son of a gun, son of a bitch. I think he said, well, son of a bitch, they paid the money. We told him you got to do this by the end of the day. You got to fire this guy or you're not getting your $6 billion or whatever it was. Well, son of a bitch, 6 hours later, he's fired. It's just one thing after another with the Bidens. It's on tape. It's in email. It's everywhere. Whistleblowers from the IRS have come forward. These are brave, patriotic Americans. And they say the Department of Justice blocked search warrants and ignored evidence for years about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden in Ukraine, China, and Romania. Since Joe Biden has been elected, the whistleblowers say, Biden's Department of Justice has blocked two search warrants, including one for the guest house. Apparently the guest house is where Hunter lives, and it is ground zero. There was an anonymous source that said if they ever served a search warrant on the guest house, it would be all over for the Bidens. That's where the stuff is. That's where they keep everything, is the guest house. The whistleblowers say the Department of Justice under Biden has declined two search warrants and declined multiple felony charges that these whistleblowers from the IRS say should be charged against Hunter and Joe Biden, it sounds like. Because Joe Biden's not reported any of this income either. How could he? If Hunter hasn't reported it, how's Joe going to report the part he gets? We've even got Joe on tape saying, the question, how often have you discussed international overseas business with your son, Hunter? Never. I've never discussed that. Okay. Now we've got an email. My dad's right here, and he says he's going to kick your ass if you don't send this money right now. Like, what? They have everything. They have everything that they never had on Trump. I mean, everything. Like, this is real evidence. If they impeached Biden, it would take like 2 days. Here's the evidence. Yes, of course. Of course. This is completely different than Trump. This is way worse. This is selling international influence and favor for cash for your family. It's outrageous, is what all this is. And it is, let me repeat this, going nowhere. They're like, we got them now. Look at these whistleblowers. We've seen all the evidence. We've seen all this stuff. And now the whistleblowers are making it even worse. This is devastating stuff. You put these whistleblowers in a court of law. You know, if you put Hunter Biden on trial for tax evasion on these charges, and you put the whistleblowers on the stand right here, it would be stunning. Will there be any convictions? Will there be indictments? Are they going to go after people in the Department of Justice that blocked these warrants and failed to charge these men? Are we going to find those people? Because the whistleblowers know who they are, and they've told Congress who they are. Are we going to go after them? Are we going to arrest some people? No. It goes nowhere when it's Democrats. I mean, nowhere. We often talk about losing this country, losing the freedoms and liberties. Folks, we've lost it. The Uniparty is here. Our government is incredibly one-sided. And it's only natural that it happened because they are a big government party. It's what they like. They like more people in the government. They like more control. They like more money, more spending, more programs. They just keep inventing stuff, more healthcare, more military, more everything. And the Republicans, what do they try to do? Try. They're not very good at it. They try to make the government smaller, to shrink it, to have fewer people involved, to bring the budget down. They try. They don't try very hard, but they try. But it's only natural that the brand, the party, for the last 50 years that's been expanding the government with spending and hiring and more committees and more of this and that, it's only natural since they were the ones pushing it that they're the ones that hired the people and brought them in. We've lost this government. You cannot explain what they did to Trump. And now we have this with Biden. And it will go nowhere. All you can hope is that the American people see it and go, wow, these people are, they're shills. They're shills for China and everything else. They're everything that they can't be. And yet they are. Big news on the submersible vehicle submarine that was found as pieces of wreckage in a debris field near the Titanic in the Atlantic Ocean. The big news here is from the Wall Street Journal. You heard the news. Okay, this thing, hour and 45 minutes in, lost communication. It is now believed that it lost communication because it imploded at that point. Catastrophic failure of the hull, deep pressure water, instantaneous death for the people on board. This is, they said 6,000 pounds of pressure per square inch would have been on the hull of this thing. Somebody described it as the Empire State Building laying on top of you. I don't know. These people were crazy to do this. It was an experimental vessel. They signed waivers. They knew it was experimental. They knew death was possible. You've heard my opinion on this, but we now know they weren't sitting around for days and days and days wondering if they were going to survive. So in a way, for the families, there would be a pretty good feeling to know that this was just an instantaneous death. They were doing what they loved one second, and the next second it was just over, and they didn't even know what happened. That's apparently what happened here. So the Wall Street Journal reports that the Navy, because of an intricate string of devices that we have all over the Atlantic Ocean, heard this on Sunday, that they heard it. So now the questions are, why was that information kept secret? Some will say, well, they don't like to talk about their secret underwater stuff that they have to try to. These things are designed to catch a whale farting. Like, really, like the quietest Russian submarine, these devices laid at the bottom of the ocean for our U.S. Navy are designed to hear any movement of any ship, any submarine at any time. Like, don't be trying to bring your quiet submarine over here to America. We're going to know it's coming. That's what they're designed for. That's why they're there. But it's all recorded and everything else. So they picked up the implosion. They picked it up and made a noise. Noise in water travels forever. You've done this. You've been to a pool before and snap your fingers in the pool or even clench your teeth or something, how loud it is. Water. Sound and water are crazy. So our Navy had this on Sunday, and some people thought, well, maybe they told the families they knew about this, but they kept it secret. Why did they keep it secret for 4 days? What would be the point? If you told the families about it, what would you, I mean, what you wouldn't want, you know, I've heard people say they told the families probably, well, that'd be the last people. You know, you want them to have hope, don't you? Hey, we're looking. We don't know yet. There's always a chance. But the Navy was pretty darn sure this thing imploded on Sunday about an hour and 45 minutes after it launched. They knew this. Wall Street Journal has reported this. And so now people, whether this is true or not, I am not, I find it hard to give the Biden administration this much credit because they're really bad at media. They're bad at press conferences. They're not that smart. They really don't know what they're doing because they don't have to know what they're doing. They own the media either way. They don't have to be good at media. That's an important part of this. With being a Democrat, you don't have to be good at media. They'll make you good. The media will do it for you. So I don't know that I buy into this, but there is no shortage of people that believe the Biden administration held this until there was visual evidence because they knew this was Hunter's week and this thing was going to go down and they wanted a distraction from Hunter Biden. A bigger story than Hunter Biden. And let's be honest, the submarine was a bigger story than Hunter Biden because what liberal media outlet doesn't love that story? Oh my, what would it be like? Are they still alive? 96 hours of oxygen, experimental craft, billionaire on board. I mean, it was Gilligan's Island, man. And we called this on Monday. I said, this is going to go on all week. We won't know until Friday, you know, how this thing ends. It's going to take days. And so I called that on Monday's podcast. The question is, was it orchestrated? Did they not just put out a release on Sunday and say, well, the Navy heard an explosion and this is presumed to be a search and recovery act, not a search and rescue act. How much money did we spend? The French came over. The Canadians were involved. The United States Navy, the Coast Guard, all these different entities. This had to be a $200 million rescue effort, didn't it? We took everybody off their normal duties and did this. It had to be. And it's not over. Now they're going to stay there and try to recover all this stuff. I'm not sure I know the point of that. It was experimental. This was not a Navy craft that we need to go recover and say, what are we doing wrong with our Navy? This was a dude who didn't know what the hell he was doing for the most part. Crazy man. Charging people $250,000 to go in an experimental vehicle to pressures that will cave in your skull instantly. And indeed, that's what happened. The Biden administration, here's the problem. Whether you believe they did it or not, the problem with all this is, with all the deception and all the lies from the Biden administration, the way they lie constantly and deceive the media, I pretty much hear this theory and go, yeah, that's probably right. I mean, the only reason I wouldn't believe in this theory is that they're not competent enough to have hidden this news from us. I'm not sure that the Biden administration is competent enough to hold this for 4 days and keep it out of the news to protect Hunter. Are they that good at that? That's the question I have is, are they competent enough to do that? I don't doubt that they would want to do it or somebody would be like, hey, let's not let that out yet. We got this Hunter thing on Tuesday. We know it's going to happen. Because they knew that was going on. That was their business. The Hunter thing was their business. Hey, let's keep this sub thing going. This could be a big story. Let's keep it. I'm not doubting that somebody at the White House didn't come up with that idea. The question is, could they execute it? Deception, lies. They get caught in all their lies and all their deception. And again, it doesn't matter because they're just protected. They're the protected. They're the true endangered protected species in America. Democrat Party. Yes, they're the true protected species in America with their Dem privilege. Our final is going to be a little longer than most. This one's a little deep. Brought to you by Fry Orthodontics online at fryorthodontics.com. Vacation Alchemy, looking for a great Florida vacation home? Wow, does Shane O'Connor have them? Check out this site and just see what he's done with these homes. VacationAlchemy.com. If you're looking for a last-minute getaway in July for your entire family, or if you want to plan something for this winter to go to Florida and have a great vacation in a free America, it's the place to go. This saves you a lot of money. VacationAlchemy.com with the promo code KKHI. And Window World, our title sponsor of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. John Gillette and his team at Window World are simply awesome. They do great work. American-made products, 0% financing, lifetime warranty, and They're raising millions of dollars for autism research. It's really cool what they're doing. We're going to get more information on that coming up in July of something they're doing that you'll have a chance to win something really cool. But just know they're great people online at windowworld.com. Okay, from the United States Postal Service. We like to add context to stories. We like to see stories here at KKHI and go, okay, why is this important? This may not sound like it applies to you, but it does. The United States Postal Service has said, don't mail checks anymore. We've always known don't mail cash, right? Now they're saying don't mail checks. Why exactly can't I mail a check? 305 mail carriers have been robbed so far this year. The record is 412 in 1 year, and that was last year. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, it's dangerous work now to be a mail carrier. They're taking your stuff. A lot of this has to do with packages, obviously. There's a lot of packages and you know, things that could be worth money when you steal the mail. So these folks are just getting robbed right and left. The United States Postal Service is saying don't mail checks anymore because these fraudsters will take those checks and convert them to cash. I don't know how they're doing it. They do. They're saying checks aren't safe anymore if they get stolen. Okay. Then that's the scary. People are like, oh, okay, protect your mail. That's what the story's about. But they don't want to get to the good part. They don't want to get to the context. The context here is how was the last election won? Wasn't it won through the mail because of COVID? I think that the general headline would be that was the most important mail collecting ballot operation in American history, and Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. And Joe Biden got 10 million more votes than Barack Obama. This says that fraudsters all over the country, thousands and thousands and thousands of times this year, have targeted the blue mailboxes. They'll steal from those. And they steal from people's homes. That's easy. A lot of homes just have a mailbox at the street. You open it, take their mail. But it's worse than that. One ring of bandits in Milwaukee alone, made master keys to rob entire mailboxes full of subdivision residents, apartment boxes, things like that, and stole 900 checks in the mail. That's one group. One, I don't know how big the ring was, handful of people. And that's only one place in Milwaukee. 900 checks stolen in Milwaukee. Thousands and thousands and thousands of mailboxes are stolen from each year. They can't protect them anymore. People are making master keys to get in the ones that have multiple mailboxes in them. And the post office puts this out there because it's their job to say, look, be safe with your mail, and we're out here trying. This is a 5-alarm fire. We have to stop mail-in voting. If the post office can't stop any of this, we can't do this anymore. I don't remember any polling places being robbed in the last election, do you? But we got letter carriers being held up. We have mailboxes being raided. We have master keys. Mm-mm. It's got to end. The Postal Service isn't safe anymore. None of it is. There's porch pirates, too. We'll steal your packages that UPS and FedEx leave. There's all kinds of crime out there. People have lost their minds. Nobody's going to jail for this stuff. We've got anarchy, man. It's crazy. If you can't protect letter carriers on the job, and we know that 900 checks, now how many fewer checks are in the mail with residents these days, because everything's electronic, than, let's say, ballots within a month of the election? Right? If a handful of people took 900 checks in Milwaukee, then 100 people in the state of Wisconsin can find 10,000 ballots. There is no doubt about that. Wow. I don't hear anybody talking about this. This is a 5-alarm fire, folks. We better figure out what's going on with the Postal Service because it ain't safe, which means the ballots aren't safe, which means by definition, the elections are not free and fair. They are not. Even if it's not a difference maker, even if there's not enough ballots being tampered with in the mail to swing an election, it still isn't free and fair. There's only one free and fair way to do this. Give every United States citizen a brand new Social Security card with a chip in it and their photo on it. And then you must vote in person. And we'll open the voting 2 weeks early. We'll have early voting everywhere for national elections. This is your federal ID. It's your Social Security card. Every born citizen or every person that's a citizen in America has a Social Security number. It's not like we're not already identified. So they can't come up with this thing of, well, poor people can't get driver's licenses. What the hell are we doing? We all have Social Security numbers. Let's make a card for every single person in America. This becomes your voting ID. You must put the chip in the machine to vote. It's going to read your eyes and match who you are. It's 2023, for God's sake. You got 2 weeks. Go to the poll and do it. It's such an unserious thing the way we vote. And the post office is just saying it out loud. We can't secure the mail anymore. This is dangerous, man. Don't put anything valuable in the mail. You mail your ballots for president, but don't put anything valuable in the mail. Don't put money in there. Don't put checks in there. Don't put anything valuable in the mail. Go ahead and make your vote. You can mail that. We'll see to it that that gets taken care of. Just by zip code alone, it would be easy to completely rig elections. You throw away ballots in Republican areas, and you harvest the ballots in Democrat areas. It's just that simple. You're talking 70-30 ratios in so many parts of this country that it swings an election like that. Good Lord. Okay, there you go. It's the weekend. Let's go have some fun. I hope you have a great time. Hey, we might get a shower this weekend. I'll believe that when I see it. It's going to be a sticky hot one. Maybe I'll see you at the Lenox Barbecue. If you see me, feel free to walk up and say hello. It is so flattering when you walk up and say you listen to the podcast. I can't thank you enough. I used to shake a lot of people's hands when they'd say hi. Now I just kind of hug people. Because if you're coming up and you listen to this podcast, I want to hug you. But not for listening to the podcast. I just know what kind of person you are. I like you more than a handshake. If you listen to this podcast, I like you a lot more than a handshake. I'm not afraid to hug you. Okay, so let's do it. I'll see you at the Lexa Barbecue this weekend. And you have a great weekend. From Kevin and Jessica at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.